This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Got a busy show. Check in with UConn head coach Dan Hurley, the star of NC State, DJ Burns, and Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluter. Your phone calls always welcome. Poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. All of that forthcoming. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Follow along the Celebrity Bracket Challenge at foxsportsradio.com, powered by NetSuite. Jim Boeheim is in first place right now. Adam Sandler picked Auburn to win it all. Sandman, I believe, is going to join us tomorrow. He's filming a movie in England, and going to talk to him about Happy Gilmore 2 and my role. The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. NetSuite by Oracle brings accounting, finance, inventory, and HR onto one proven platform, helping you reduce cost everywhere. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind flexible finance programs. Head to netsuite.com/Patrick right now. All right, good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you for downloading the app and our radio affiliates over 400 cities carrying this program, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio as well. It was a year in the making. It lived up to it. Felt like a heavyweight title fight. It was Iowa and LSU, and Iowa getting the better of LSU this time around. Caitlin Clark did not disappoint. Angel Reese lived up to the billing as well. But Iowa, too much. Caitlin Clark, certainly in the third quarter, as she goes for 41-12. And trying to guard her, Haley Van Lith, the LSU guard, was asked what it's like to guard Caitlin Clark.
What a tough cover Caitlin is. I mean, obviously you were fighting all night, but just the challenge that she presents.
Yeah, Caitlin's very skilled. She's a great player. She hit some tough shots, and there's not a whole lot you can do about some of the threes she hit. And I think, you know, her role, or the team around her that plays a role, they did a good job of executing their role. So, you know, ultimately they played better than us, and that's what it was.
The key is Caitlin Clark is going to get her points. Great players get their points. Even though you know they're going to shoot, they can still score. It's her teammates. That's really the key. If Iowa wins a national title, it will be because of Caitlin Clark, but it will be about her teammates. They have to fill in the void, whatever that is. Caitlin contributed 71% of the offense last night, whether scoring or assist. You got to have players who make big shots. And Kim Mulkey, the LSU head coach, talked about that.
She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. I think they had a kid that scored 21 and 18. She had 12 assists. Caitlin Clark's not going to beat you by herself. It's what she does to make those other teammates better that helps her score points and them score points to beat you. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
That was in the handshake line at the end of the game and exchanging pleasantries because all eyes were on Kim Mulkey, Angel Reese, and Caitlin Clark. And everybody was civil with it, complimentary to one another. And Caitlin Clark has another game coming up against Connecticut. UConn against USC. You can't help but root for UConn, Paige Beckers, everything she's been through. And she reintroduced herself, I think, to college basketball, to America last night, because she's so good, so talented, so skilled. She was the player of the year as a freshman and then had a couple of knee surgeries, but to come back and play the way she's playing at both ends of the floor. And I told you about Juju Watkins. I've been saying that for 6 weeks now. She's real. She's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And she's coming back. She's only a freshman. They're gonna sprinkle in some more talent on that roster. They got a good recruiting class. They didn't have enough weapons to counteract what UConn was putting in front of them. But they played well this year. And Juju Watkins set the all-time scoring record for a freshman in Division I history. But 28 for Paige Beckers, and it felt like that was the Final Four. LSU-Iowa felt like that was the title game, but that was just the Final Four. In case you're wondering, the women's Final Four, NC State, is getting 11.5 against South Carolina. Connecticut is getting 2.5 against Iowa. That's according to DraftKings. And South Carolina is the favorite to win the national title, followed by Iowa. Then it's UConn and NC State. So we could be looking at yet another rematch if Iowa gets past UConn facing South Carolina this time for the title. NC State getting 9 versus Purdue in the men's Final Four. Alabama getting 12 against Connecticut. So they are predicting yet another UConn victory by double digits. All right, Seton, what's poll question today?
Well, why don't we go with a better remaining Final Four?
Okay.
Men's or women's?
Saucy.
The men have 2 1s, a 4, and an 11. Okay. The women have 2 1s and 2 3s, but names on every one of those teams. Interesting players on every one of those teams.
I think the storylines are probably better with the women's Final Four because I think people are looking at Caitlin Clark going, you did all of this, but the great ones win a title. Because right now, you could look at her career in college, similar to Pete Maravich. They scored a lot of points. Pete didn't win any titles, didn't come close to winning a title. Caitlin has played for a title and may play for another title. But we do this in the NFL all the time. We did this to Lamar Jackson. We do it to Josh Allen. You're going, hey, you got to win a title here. That's the bottom line. Now, is that fair to Caitlin Clark? Probably not. But if you're looking at anointing somebody the greatest, it'd be like if Patrick Mahomes didn't have any titles. We go, man, he's awesome, but you got to win a title. Joel Embiid, you got to win a title. Remember the Joker? Oh, you can't keep giving him MVP if he doesn't win a title. That's what this is about. Jason Tatum, hey, you got to win a title. That's what we want. We're a bottom-line sports society, and we want championships. Are the odds stacked against Caitlin Clark? Yes, they are. But it feels like people are waiting to see if she's going to win a title, if South Carolina is going to go undefeated. Could Gino Auriemma somehow pull off another surprise and win a national title? The other national titles weren't surprises. This would be. Yes, Eden.
I just like, too, that you had Iowa play LSU, which is obviously a great rematch, but now you have Iowa-UConn where Caitlin Clark's natural rival should have been Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
They're from the same class. They, you know, one was a higher recruit than the other. They, you know, their careers should have sort of mirrored each other this whole time if it wasn't for injury.
Well, and you wonder, and this is what happens with great coaches. You know, people ask Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski, hey, you didn't recruit Steph Curry? And they're like, no, we had other players that we had. And Geno, did you recruit Caitlin Clark? No, we had Paige Beckers. That's how she ended up at Iowa, because I think it was Iowa State, Iowa, Notre Dame, maybe one other school interested in Caitlin Clark. But, you know, it's she is a generational talent. She's changed the game, much like Steph Curry has. Nobody played that way. Now you're going to get... I feel bad for you dads out there who have daughters that all of a sudden they're going to be jacking from the logo.
Yeah.
And you're going to go, no! No! Wait, come on! Caitlin Clark does it, Dad! No! You're not jacking it from, you know, three-point land. But the number of moms or dads and their daughters at the game, prior to the game, Paulie was there. You got to see them just watching her shoot threes all by herself on the floor. Thousands of parents and their kids were there with their Caitlin Clark gear on. And you look at somebody who's 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 and what this is going to do for them in wanting to play. It was a great night for women's college basketball. Great night for college basketball. It was a great night for sports last night because you want great players to be great. Juju Watkins, I forget, I think it might have been Dame Lillard who said, she's Carmelo Anthony. Like,
that's
just
awesome.
Get her the ball, buckets. Paige Beckers, unbelievably athletic. Then you have Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, grabbing 20 rebounds, rolled her ankle in the first half. Like, it was back and forth. It was fun. It was athletic. It's up-tempo. You know, they're scoring in the 90s. It's awesome to watch. And I hope that they continue to build upon that. I just hope the WNBA knows how to build upon that, because that's really the key. But Juju Watkins, we could be, you know, on this day and 3 years from now saying she's the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball. She's that talented. And I know it sounds crazy to even think that. She scores in a different way than Caitlin Clark does. Caitlin is flamboyant. She's fabulous. Her passing, to me, rivals her shooting, and that's saying a whole lot. Having court awareness and trying, you can't teach court awareness. It's a feel that you have. But watching the women last night, it was a whole lot of fun. So that's the poll question, Seton. Which Final Four is more interesting?
Yeah. I mean, we could look. Is it a better remaining Final Four? Is it a more interesting Final Four? I can go with more interesting.
What if you had to pick one to watch? You could watch the women's Final Four or the men's Final Four. Is that fair to pit them against one another?
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, especially because it's interest, you know? It's not like quality of play or anything like that. It's not like any type of physicality thing. It's like, but the women's tournament is more interesting for sure, this Final Four.
Yeah. But people might say they're watching the men's because they filled out brackets.
Yeah.
You have storylines where, you know, DJ Burns at NC State, who joins us in an hour from now.
Yeah.
He can't wait to watch him. I can't. I think it's... You know, you're watching these players, and that's what's great, that you don't look at somebody and say, well, he doesn't look like he can play. That's where you get in trouble. It's we come in all shapes and sizes. You know, if somebody looked at Allen Iverson or Steve Nash, they go, huh? What? Charles Barkley at Auburn, where you're going, man, what, that guy? DJ Burns is in that category. Mm. I love it because he just keeps bringing it. And he says, when I stop having fun, then I'll stop playing. But he wants to play in the NBA. There was something yesterday, Peter Schrager of NFL Network said that, hey, there's some interest. Now, it was April Fool's Day, but Schrager said that he said that was legitimate. Yes, Paul.
I saw at least 100 tweets over the course of the day yesterday that picked up steam that DJ Burns and the NFL has interest in maybe him as a developmental prospect, and I didn't think it was a real story, and it seems like it is a real story.
I'm only going by what Peter Schrager said.
It's taken on a life of its own.
But if he doesn't make it in the NBA, would he want to play football? He played football in high school. I think he was a tight end and maybe a defensive end. but it felt like it picked up a little momentum. There have been a lot of athletes who have, you know, crossed over to another sport or been drafted in another sport. Tony Gonzalez, very good basketball player. Gates, Antonio Gates, very good basketball player. So it's not out of the question, but they were tight ends. I don't know if DJ Burns wants to play left tackle. Yeah, Seton.
It's like I was saying yesterday with Peter Schrager. If you have a huge story on April Fool's Day, do you save it for the next day?
Yes.
So that people take it more seriously.
Yes. That's what I thought. I go, oh, Schrags, come on. You're trying to play us here. We're on to you. And all of a sudden, and I did reach out to one of my sources, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? He goes, I haven't heard anything about that. He goes, he's a fun basketball player to watch, but he's got great footwork. And that's what my source said. Look, you start with great footwork if you want to have somebody play left tackle and or defensive line, you know, interior lineman. But, you know, we get caught up. Some NFL players have talked about, you know, privately with me. I say, hey, how would Shaq do? And they go, he'd get crushed. And I go, what? They go, oh, it's all about getting low in leverage. And I go, Shaq would get crushed? Oh, we would love to have Shaq out there. I go, okay. I said, what about LeBron? Yeah, LeBron could play tight end. Yeah, that would be a you know, tougher matchup. But they were talking about how you guys think just because these guys are big, that means they're a good football player. Yes, Todd?
The kid's Cinderella season is going to be over either in 4 days or 6 days. They can't just wait a little longer, let him play the basketball, already throwing him on an NFL offensive line or a practice squad somewhere. It's a little ridiculous.
Wait. Are you just joining this business here?
I understand why they're doing it in clicks and everything like that. And
yes.
What's true or not on April Fool's Day. But, you know, he's got a game in 4 days, and maybe if he's lucky, a championship game in 6 days, and they're already getting him out of his basketball uniform and throwing him on the offensive line on an NFL team.
It feels like this is a good thing. That guy's so talented, he might be able to play in the NFL.
He hasn't played since eighth grade, from what I read, any type of football.
Okay.
So it's ridiculous.
All right. I think that says a lot about his talent. I didn't view it as a negative. I mean, I'm just curious. He wants to play in the NBA. I don't know if he can play in the NBA, given the style of NBA is different than college basketball. Yes,
there are definitely positions in football that you don't have to train your whole life to just pick up and play.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some, a quarterback is obviously different. There are some positions, but other than that, there's a bunch that you're like, oh, yeah, I'm super athletic. I could jump in and play.
Yeah.
At a very high level.
But he wants to play basketball. I don't know if, you know, that means you would play overseas if he can't get drafted. You know, the college basketball has these players, like Zach Edey. Normally, he would be a first-round pick in a previous generation in the NBA. Now, he's sort of a project, maybe a second-round pick. And maybe DJ Burns is the same way, where you're like, you know what? Taco Falls was on a roster. Not too long, but he was on a roster. DJ Burns would be kind of fun, put him in there. Or Zach Edey. Let's send him in off the bench, shake it up a little bit. Yeah, Paul?
Udonis Haslem has been on the Heat for like 7 years without playing a minute.
Yeah.
Let's pop him on the roster, have some fun. I'm sure he could bang around in some games.
Yeah, but Haslem is sort of an associate coach or something.
He suited up, though.
Yeah.
At least he had a warm-up on.
Yeah, but he's playing as much as I am. I don't think you want to have DJ Burns just on the bench just to say, oh, he's on the bench. I think you want to have your guy be able to contribute a little bit. But we'll talk to him, see if he's interested in football. What did he make of the report yesterday? So he'll join us a little later on. Danny Hurley and Lisa Bluter, the Iowa head coach. So we're busy, and you can be part of the program as well. Coming up, we'll play Guess the Ratings Number, the number of people watching LSU and Iowa. We'll go around the room, and then I'm not sure. Those numbers usually come out around this time. So we'll see if we get that information. How many people were watching that game last night? Because it felt like must-see TV. Take a break. Just getting started. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DKHorse.com.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Play of the day coming up. We'll hear from Caitlin Clark as well, also her head coach. We'll hear from Dan Hurley, UConn head coach, and DJ Burns, the star of NC State. By the way, there was a no-hitter last night for the Houston Astros, Ronel Blanco. I believe this is the Astros' first win of the season. So their first win of the season. And I was curious, when's the last time a team's first win was a no-hitter? Well, I'm glad you asked. The 2001 Red Sox, and his no-hitter is the earliest by calendar date in baseball history.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
In case you're wondering, how many no-hitters have we had since 2020? 4-plus seasons. If you said 11 combined no-hitters, you would be right.
But is a combined no-hitter really a...
Yes.
We hate combined no-hitters.
I know we do. But,
if it's combined, is it...
It's still a no-hitter to me. The number of no-hitters from 1970 through 2019, the previous 50 seasons. If you said 12 combined no-hitters, so in 50 years we had 12. In the last 4-plus seasons, we've had 11.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Here's how it sounded on Astros Radio Network.
2-2 to Guerrero. Ground ball tap. Blanco lets it go by. Dubon Fields throws the first in time. A no-hitter! Odell Blanco! Yadier Diaz, the first to jump into his arms. And the rest of his teammates come out to mob him. Odell Blanco has thrown the 17th no-hitter in Houston Astros history.
Okay. That used to be a big deal. Now, players, they don't, if you get no hit, it's like striking out. All right, we'll get him another day. Previous generation, and I was at this game, Kenny Holtzman of the Cubs no hit the Reds at Riverfront. And I remember, I believe the seventh inning, Johnny Bench tried to bunt to break up the no hitter. The great power hitter, Johnny Bench. Whatever it took, you were not going to get no hit. But then back then, if you struck out 100 times, people looked at you like, what is wrong with you? Now, if you don't strike out at least 100, we look at you and go, what is wrong with you? You swing, you miss. When you hit, maybe you hit a home run. You had more, almost as many no-hitters in the last 4 seasons as you did in the previous 50 seasons. It's pride, but or lack thereof. It was pride before, now it's not a big deal. Hey, you got us. All right, get him next time. Nobody trying to bunt to get on. I don't even know if people know how to bunt anymore, if it really matters. I don't know if they practice bunting anymore. No. Like, that was always the big thing. You get in there, you take your swings, and then lay down a couple of bunts.
Yeah.
Now I don't think it matters. But, you know, I mean, give credit to Ronel Blanco with the no-hitter, because this early in the year, sometimes you get a manager going, well, I don't know, what's his pitch count? Now I'm going to have to pull him. He's got a no-hitter. Well, okay. Well, if he gets a 3-ball count, I'm probably going to have to take him out. Yes, Todd.
Couldn't you make the argument, if you're like, we have pride, we're not going to get no-hit, the desperation of sticking your bat out to bunt to break up the no-hitter, to me, is every bit as sad as being no-hit. Just to avoid being no-hit, and you had to resort to not swinging normally just so you can say you got on base once through 27 outs.
No. I'm trying to get on base. I don't want to be no-hit.
Yeah.
Still counts as a base hit. No? So you'd rather go up there and just swing.
If it's the ninth inning and you're losing, whatever, 8-0 in a no-hitter and you're bunting, that's not getting you anywhere near coming back to win the game. You're just doing that just so you can say, ha-ha, you didn't get a no-hitter on it.
Correct.
Okay. Would you, if you were fighting Mike Tyson, just go in there and start swinging and go toe-to-toe with Mike Tyson because your pride's at stake and you don't want to dance around?
I'd probably dance around.
Well, okay.
And then I'd ask him, please don't hit me.
Yeah, yes, Paulie.
I think there's a big difference in what Fritzy threw out there. If it's a 1-0 game and I would bunt because you're trying to win that ball game. If it's 8-0 to start the ninth, I think bunting is bush league.
Yeah.
So that's very specifically, though.
I'm bunting. I am whatever it takes. All it takes is a base hit now. Come on now. Hey, come
we'll
on.
Stick,
hey,
we'll stick.
Go. Come on now.
Let me go. No.
Yes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to break up that no-hitter. Absolutely.
100%.
Yes. Marvin, what would you do? You're going to...
I'm leaning into one.
Okay.
I'm getting hit.
All right.
By hook or by crook, I'm getting on base.
Locks as good as a hit. Come on now. Yeah, Marv.
Is it more embarrassing to get no-hit or your team to strike out 20 times, like when Roger Clemens did it or when Kerry Wood did it?
I don't know if... Well, maybe back then they would be embarrassed. Like, I don't know if the Astros were embarrassed when Kerry Wood struck out 20. I mean, the way he pitched that day, there was nothing. And that was a good hitting lineup, the Astros. Bagwell and Biggio. But Nowadays, I don't know if you used to hang your head when you walked back to the dugout. Now, it's like, I remember one of A-Rod's former teammates saying that A-Rod came back to the dugout after striking out, and he said, "How did I look striking out?"
Yeah, but how did I look?
Yes, that was important. Like, you don't want to strike out and look foolish. But, hey, man, I was on that one. How did I look? Yeah, you're right on that one.
Handsome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that he meant that. He wanted to know how he looked striking out. Yes, Tom.
If someone's going to stick their bat out to bunt to ruin your perfect game or your no-hitter, is it okay for the pitcher to say, you know what, I'm going to put one right up by your head there and buzz the tower a little bit to let you know?
If you throw it up at my head, that's different. You want to hit me in the backside?
Well, you're trying to get cute. I'm trying to make history here. This game's over. It's 7-8-0. You're just trying to screw over my no-hitter, so I'm just going to let you know with one by the chin a little bit, let you know, because you're just sticking your bat out hoping the ball hits it.
Hmm. So then you get tossed from the game where you have
that
a no-hitter going the
other way. That would be a shame to get ejected.
Yes, Seton.
I think throwing at someone's head is generally frowned upon.
Yeah.
But
not in Todd's world.
Not in my world.
Yeah. If you square around a bunt in the eighth inning.
Just make sure you have good control. I don't want anyone to actually get hit in the head, but just let them know, you know, have them take a seat into the dirt diving out of the
you
way.
You talk so tough, and you're so soft. You are.
I'd probably let the guy hit it. I'd feel so bad. It's like, wow, all these guys haven't gotten one hit. I should let them have one, I guess.
Man, you must have been a real bully growing up.
I threw some pitches.
Shut up.
I was a little wild, though.
Yeah, buzzed the tower here and there. Yeah.
I didn't want to. I had bad control, and that's why it ended up hitting a couple of kids.
Hey, I let him know the inside part of the plate belongs to me, too.
You got to do what you got to do.
All right, thank you. Seton, update the poll results, and then we'll play Guess the Ratings for LSU-Iowa last night.
Yeah, well, we got a new poll question now, which would be, would you bunt to break up a no-hitter?
Okay.
That's obviously going up there.
Yeah.
Very, very soon.
Says a lot about you.
Yeah.
Look at the bat.
Whatever it takes, I will not let you no-hit me.
Yeah.
Whatever. Hey, I've been no-hit before, and I have laid down a bunt to break up a no-hitter.
Wow.
Yes.
How did that play? Do you remember any reaction?
Yes.
From the other team.
Oh, no, they didn't. They were like,
okay.
Against that pitcher?
See, I thought inside baseball this was very frowned upon, but I've never played.
It might be. All I know is I never knew this guy's first name. We just knew his name was Nagel, and he was left-handed, and the guy was bringing cheese. And we were scared to death getting in the box. And then I remember third base coach gave me the bunt sign. I'm like, what? Because you have to square around, and then I dropped it down third base, and then Chris Myers, who just passed away, a friend of mine for over 60 years, he had a double down the line. We ended up winning 1-0. That's what it takes. But I was told to bunt because I didn't want to square around against this guy.
Shift the blame. Nice job.
Yes. Because he threw. But I would have. I would have tried to bunt every single time I went up there because I wasn't going to put the bat on the ball otherwise. Yes, Seton.
By the way, who the hell cares what the other team thinks?
Apparently somebody over there does.
Like, you know what? I might try to get this hit, but I'm not sure how the other team's going to feel about it. Maybe I shouldn't.
And do you celebrate that?
Who the hell cares?
Yes!
Screw you guys.
Yes. So you laid out a bunt, you broke up the no-hitter. So what are you doing now? You got to first base. Are you looking back at your dugout with your pumping your fist?
Yes!
Like, yeah, no-hitter is gone for them.
Yes!
We're going to lose 9-0 anyway, but yeah, no-hitter.
We ended up winning 1-0, Tom.
But that's not how it always plays out. I'm talking about a game where, you know, you're
if
up
it was 8-0... I would have bunted to try to.
Yes. Yesterday's game was like 10-0 the Astros were winning.
Yes.
Someone would have stuck down their bat like that. I'd be like, really?
It's like when you don't have any guest for a show.
Here we go.
And then all of a sudden you go, well, let me reach out to Albert Breer and see if he'll join us. That's a bunt.
Wow. I'm sure Albert Breer appreciates that.
Now I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's cold blooded, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Todd, how's it feel? I put it into your vernacular.
Okay.
Into your world.
I don't like that.
Yes, Paul.
All you got to do is go scoreboard right now. Look at this guest list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. He did a great job today.
Scoreboard.
Walk off.
Yeah.
Only as good as your last performance.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan, I don't have anybody.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you to text someone. We need like an ombudsman, someone who played the game. Like, you know, guys like Smoltz or Mark Grace or someone, a longtime pro hitter. And like Grace, a pro hitter. Yeah. Maybe we could text someone like that and say, You be the ombudsman for this discussion.
All right. Gracie, text me if you're available. He was texting me yesterday. But if you're around, you want to join us, then great. Let's guess the ratings, LSU and Iowa. Okay, you got to give me a range here, Paulie, just so we have an idea. The last Iowa game, What did the national title game do?
Okay, Iowa-LSU, the official ratings last year for the national title game was 9.9 million.
Okay.
So I'm setting the range at 6 million to 10 million, because that's what the experts have thrown out a range like that. Okay. So who would like to go first?
All right. Todd?
Sure, I'll lay down a bunt. 10.6 million. I'm going to go over 10. 10.63, to be exact.
Okay. Seton?
I'm going to say 6.5.
All right. Marvin?
9.4.
I'm going to say 7.2. Paulie?
I'll go 7.7.
Okay.
We should know before we get off air today.
Okay. That's it. That's called Guess the LSU-Iowa Ratings.
It really is in a second round today.
I think 7-7 is the ratings of the women's national championship game last year.
I had it at 9.9.
Oh, is it 9.9?
But that, I think maybe that was the peak number. There's a lot of variables.
Yeah.
Okay.
Checking.
All right. Fair enough. Doug in North Carolina. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind today?
Dan, I'm with Todd on this one. I think it's one of the unwritten rules of baseball that if you bunt to break up a no-no, they're coming after your head the next time up. And there was a situation just up the road from your guys about 5 years ago in Hartford where somebody did that. They bunted to get on base during a no-no, and it ended up with the dugouts clearing total brawl. You just can't bunt to break up a no-no. Although it did happen to Curt Schilling. Somebody bunted to break up a perfect game against him in 20-plus years ago. But I think it's an unwritten rule.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Once again, these stupid unwritten rules, will somebody write them down?
By the way, that time in Hartford, it was a combined no-hitter.
Ooh. So that doesn't really...
Nobody's fighting over a combined no-hitter.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Hey, we all worked really hard on this one.
How dare you? You know, when speaking of bunting... When Curt Schilling faced the Yankees, did anybody bunt on Curt Schilling that night when he had the bloody sock? The ALCS in 2004?
You went crazy the next
I did.
Day. Crazy.
I was like, oh my God, you got a guy who's got a surgically repaired ankle, and I don't think anybody bunted on him.
Right.
There's two people I would never bunt on. Randy Johnson and Nolan Ryan. Those would be the two pitchers modern day where I'd go, nope, not going to do that. Because guaranteed, if you bunt on Nolan Ryan, break up the no-hitter, your teammate is going to get hit. And maybe if Randy Johnson's doing the same. Lucas in Texas. Hi, Luke. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, I think what you need is an ombudsman.
Oh, bloop. All right, Luke.
Nice.
But, hey, I wanted to call. I don't know who you need to fire, but whoever's giving you stats, I think you might be wrong on the number of no-hitters in that 50-year period. That might be perfect games because Nolan Ryan threw 7 in that time frame.
Oh, dear.
So, I'm just thinking through that. But I will say about, like, earning a hit, back when the Astros were not very good, like in the early 2013s or so.
Yep.
It was like the second game of the year, and Yu Darvish had a 26-out perfect game going against them. And we got this little scratch bunt single, or not a bunt single, a scratch single right up the middle. That was like the highlight of our year, to not get that perfect game thrown against you. I mean, it means a lot. Like, you feel that pressure. So, but I mean, they didn't bunt to earn it. But it's a big deal. So celebrating our big one last night.
All right. Well, thank you, Lucas. Congrats to your Astros. First win of the season turns out to be a no-hitter. Yes, Paul?
I think, Lou, he misheard you. It wasn't the past 50 years there was 11 no-hitters. You said, I think, in the past 3 seasons. So I think you were correct on
that. Well, there's 11 no-hitters since 2020.
Correct. That's correct. I think he misheard.
But then there's 12 no-hitters, it says, from 1970 to 2019.
That would be incorrect.
Todd?
I think. I mean, in how many decades?
It says previous 50 seasons.
50? I mean, Nolan Ryan had 7.
Todd?
I will check with my people. Well, I could take one for the team and say my math is wrong. I'll see what I can find out here.
Well, you're the one I asked to get the information.
I did. I didn't do the personal tabulation of it, but we will see what's going on.
Are you talking about combined no-hitters?
I'm reading something that says 12 combined no-hitters from 1970 through 2019.
Okay. Are we combining like a singular start with the pitcher, 9 innings, and other no-hitters, so it's combined that way?
There's a complete no-hitter and a combined no-hitter.
Okay.
This clearly says combined no-hitter.
Okay. So
not the singular no-hitters that we're used to. Yeah. Traditional no-hitters.
Okay. Todd?
It's a little confusing.
Okay.
Not sure what to do with that. I'll have to go back to my people and find out if there's something that can clarify that.
Okay. Right. I gave you one thing to do today.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, we'll talk about the Elite Eight and the sandwich off later today. We'll have an update for you. Seton woke up to 100 tweets talking about this, and rightfully so. More people interested in this than I think anything else going on.
First of all, chicken parmesan is a dinner, not a sandwich.
Yeah. And yesterday, I walk into an auto body place. Mechanic goes, "What? Chicken parm got ripped off?" And I go, "What?" He goes, "Chicken parm." I go, "Oh, you're listening to the show." He goes, "Yeah."
And now he can't fix your transmission.
No, no,
he's
so upset. He didn't do anything on my car, but he gave me his thoughts on a chicken parm. All right, take a break. Play of the day next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Oh, my God.
The play.
The play is called play.
Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
12 on the shot clock. Hands off to Clark. As we approach 5 minutes, step back, right wing three. You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark grabs her chest, looks to the crowd, matches a career high with 9 threes. She's got 37.
That's courtesy of Westwood One Radio. Clark finished with 41, 12, and 7 rebounds. First player in NCAA history with 3 career 40-point games. That is your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. They're going to help you find a job. They don't charge you anything. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Great people. Check out expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. All right, we'll get to some phone calls. We'll hear from Caitlin Clark coming up at the top of the hour. Big day yesterday, the Elite Eight, ATE, as we have the sandwich showdown that will lead to one dining moment coming up on Friday.
Todd, we'll wrap it up then.
Well, you can't have a wrap because that's not a sandwich.
In the milieu.
That's a wrap. Todd will be singing One Dining Moment.
I will do that.
Coming up on Friday. We'll modify the words there. I made an executive decision. The showdown today is grilled cheese versus a Cuban sandwich.
Let's go.
Yes.
The gloves are off. Is a classic.
The gloves are off. Now it's just old school. Every Friday for me and my family, we would have tomato soup and grilled cheese. We're not going to have tomato soup. It's just grilled cheese against a Cuban sandwich. Any feedback we need to know about this, Seton O'Connor?
Well, yesterday, the Elite Eight game, it ended up being after the played-in game of Parm on Parm. We had chicken parm versus a Reuben.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know how that one worked out?
Yeah.
It would be a 60-40 split. Chicken parm advances.
Wow.
Yeah, the Reuben.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was the right thing to do.
Thank you, Todd.
People also said if your meat that goes on bread also has bread on it, chicken parm is a terrible sandwich.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, people took this very personally.
East Coast bias were being accused of.
Whoa.
It's just how is Reuben losing to this? It's your vote. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask yourselves that.
Reuben is a blue blood, and people are saying that it's a more traditional sandwich, but the brackets are the brackets.
Such disrespect for the king. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, this was a real debate. Yeah.
A Reuben is not a hot sandwich. It is the hot
sandwich.
Okay,
all right.
It's fair.
But it's grilled cheese versus a Cuban sandwich today.
Yeah.
The Elite Eight, and then this will lead to Friday.
Where are you going with that one? You're sticking grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nostalgia? You would think that I had this growing up, that I wouldn't be in favor of it. But a grilled cheese sandwich, it's just something to be said about it. It's simple. It's Americana. And reminds me of my mom when she'd say, oh, shut up and just eat the grilled cheese. And I go, all right, Mom. Because it was either that or bologna sandwich, and nobody wanted a bologna sandwich. So grilled cheese, tomato soup, there with my brothers and sisters. It's sort of a Norman Rockwell painting. Mm. Yeah. Yes, Marvin.
So is grilled cheese like a blue blood?
Yeah, for me.
Okay.
Yeah, for me. Yes, Paul.
But a Cuban sandwich has a lot to say. There's mixed meats, there's mustard, there's the pickle. It could be pressed.
Correct.
I mean, there's a bunch of tastes going into that sandwich. That's a luxury item.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's phenomenal.
I got an update. Reuben is now in the transfer portal.
Oh, come on.
You can see that coming.
What a loyalty.
Yes.
Come on.
Transfer portal. Yes, man. Wow.
It got to be Calipari.
You know what I was thinking last night? And I don't know why I was thinking this, but maybe it was the next glass of tequila I had. But when they were doing the handshake line, and Kim Mulkey, you know, LSU's walking by, the Iowa players, like, I would love to have had a coach going, hey, you want to join us? Hey, you want to join us? Hey, you want to join us? Yeah, good game. Hey, you want to join us? Hey, you want to transfer? Hey, good game. Just one quick second, you know, it's probably frowned upon, but... I did think about that. All of a sudden, you're just... Kim Mulkey's going, portal. But she did grab Caitlin Clark and say, hey, I'm glad you're no longer going to be around. Yes, Todd?
The coaches do spend a few extra seconds when they're shaking hands with the opponents with the star players.
Yes, they do.
The other ones, they just kind of pass by, and then all of a sudden, there's a little hug and a little extra discussion going on.
Did you clean up your mess here with the no-hitters?
I think we did.
We did? Okay. Because I'm the one taking the bullet.
You are. You shouldn't be.
Okay, why would we have combined no-hitters? Was last night a combined no-hitter?
There was a little confusion. It was not a combined
no-hitter. Yeah, so why would we have combined no-hitter stats?
That's a fair question to ask.
Thank you,
Tom. It should be about someone that went the distance and didn't share.
Yes, Paul.
And we don't honor on this show combined no-hitters. No offense, but it's like Neil Armstrong didn't combine with Michael Collins to land on the moon. I mean, they landed on the moon together, but you say first man to walk on the moon. It's not Michael Collins and he's the guy who drove the ship, right? He flew the ship.
Yeah.
But, you know, Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon.
Okay.
Not Neil Armstrong et al.
Et al. All right. Coming up next hour, we'll hear from Caitlin Clark, and her head coach, Lisa Bluter, will join us. DJ Burns, star forward for NC State. Dan Hurley, UConn head coach. We're busy over the next 2 hours. Hope you can stay with us. Dan Patrick Show.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you, like no other automaker can. The vehicle, all electric, the feeling, all Mercedes, the choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.